Blue Wire.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup, oh, blocked by James! It's over, Cleveland is a city of champions once again!
The Cleveland Cavaliers select Colin Sexton, Darius Garland.
Here comes Sexton, some rhythm.
And he got it, young ball continues to wear him out!
Welcome to the Chase Down Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Rowan. We're doing a special episode of the podcast today because I don't know if you guys noticed, but Carter and myself are in NBA 2K20, and I could not be more stoked. With me to talk about our exciting new chapter here is my co-host, Carter Rodriguez. Carter, how's it going, buddy?
I'm as stoked as you in the fake Twitter timeline on 2K were as stunned by Luke Kornet being sent down to the G League by the Chicago Bulls and the
You say that's the fake Twitter account? My God. I mean, that was some of the most...
I mean, we know you stand for Luke Kornet.
They knew shocking. What's important to me.
We figured we'd bullshit about the game for a little bit, talk about both of us have been playing this for a really, really long time. When did you start playing 2K? You remember the year? Because I very much do.
That's a great question. So actually, as embarrassing as this is, I used to be a live guy like way, way back. I think, what was the year Gilbert?
Oh, I mean, everyone was an NBA live guy. Because yeah, on the market. Then I was Kobe Bryant's NBA courtside guy on N64 for a while, Ripskies. But my first year of 2K, I very specifically remember it. It was when they had their partnership with ESPN. Mm-hmm. They were doing ESPN NBA 2K.
Okay.
And it was the one with Ben Wallace on the cover. That's 2K5.
Oh, okay. So I think I got into it a little bit later. I think it was like 2K10 for me.
Really? You didn't? I actually remember too many of the covers because I remember Shaq was on the cover of 2K6. I don't remember 2K7 or 8, but I know KG was 9 and then Kobe was 10. So is that your first one?
Yeah. The Kobe one was my first one. So now,
isn't it funny because to me that seems so recent and I'm like, oh wait, that's been 9 years.
it's a decade. It's 2K20 now, man. Like this is it's pretty cool though, because this is something that you and I obviously do as a hobby, because this is a passion for us. It gives us the opportunity to talk basketball and for this to kind of result in us showing up in an NBA 2K game is just so cool. And I want to give a quick...
I'll say this, Justin. I think I lead Blue Wire's podcasters in minutes played of the series.
Well, okay, Mister, I work for a video game company. I'm not going to put your business out there, but what I want to say before we actually get into this is just I want to say like a quick thank you to everybody that supported us, because if nobody gave a crap about what we were doing with this podcast and whatnot, we would not have this opportunity. And just want to give a big shout out to the Chase Down family, and I couldn't be more stoked for this,
and to Blue Wire, of course, for helping make this happen.
Shout out to GOAT Kevin Jones.
So it is my understanding that both of us have the new game and have started to get into it. What have been your early impressions of it?
So a few things. I don't do tons and tons of online. I like my career. I like my league. When I first booted up my career, the thing I noticed was just that it is very involved with cutscenes and stuff like that. So I had gravitated quickly to my league because I just didn't have the time to really dedicate to it. But then this last few days, I've been playing my career more. And I'm just impressed with the storyline, especially compared to kind of last few years. I think if you go into the mindset that I'm going to be watching a lot of this, it is a real intriguing storyline. I thought last year's didn't connect with me. I don't know how much of that has to do with Michael Rapaport being in it. But this year I just found it was a lot more refreshing. It was an interesting storyline. Beyond that, I've been playing a lot of my league. That's kind of my real wheelhouse. in demonstrating or figuring out just how well Sexland is going to work out, which
yeah, that's is always the first thing you want to do. Yeah, the thing, as much as I love Idris Elba with an American accent going full Charles Minor from The Office, I've always been a My League guy. I think that, you know, I'm always a little surprised that's not there, because it's very clear that the ultimate team, or the ultimate my team, and then the my player modes are clearly becoming their most popular.
Right. No, and, absolutely.
And I'm a little surprised by that, because if there's been one trend that NBA fans have kind of undergone in the Twitter era, is that everyone wants to be a GM now. Everyone wants to build a roster. And that's what I've always been the most drawn to with these games, is really kind of diving in and trying to finding a roster that I think is interesting and starting to build them up towards a championship and really trying to play. You know, I don't know about you. I can't do an 82 game season. It's just I'm not built for it.
Oh, I do 82. I can't.
I'm a 35, I think, is what it is, because I get to play everyone twice, and I still feel like because anything shorter than that, then you're barely even playing. But
yeah, I think that's it. I think
the right wheelhouse where I can still get to the off season and I'm not bored.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point. The thing that I do like about it is it is a bit of a buffet where there's a little something for everybody. I'm a fan of the improved customization with the My Career and the My Player. I'd like to see just a little bit more, because once you start getting that taste of just really being able to kind of customize your archetype, you want more and more and more. And to 2K's credit, I think they do take a lot of that feedback and they build off of it. And this is a big step in the right direction. Obviously adding the WNBA and a My League for the WNBA is great. Representation is really, really important. And to see not only are the teams there, but you also do get that My League experience with the WNBA. That's really cool. I haven't really explored that yet because it's still in the first week and I'm messing around with My League. But I do think why you're seeing the growth of the My Career and kind of those online modes is because people like playing with one another. Like I think that the community,
not me.
I think the
community, I'm a loner.
Right. I think the community feel is big for people. Me personally, I'm with you. I like doing the My League. I'm not the strongest player. For anyone listening, you can add me on Xbox. Same thing as my Twitter handle, Cavs Anada. But it's to me, that's the most appealing. But I do feel like with the custom archetypes, I'm going to dive into My Career a little bit more. And the other things look fun. Like, my team looks fun. I know my GM's kind of received an overhaul as well. I want to check that out. It's just intimidating, though.
Like, I don't know, man.
Really, I just intimidating always, the other modes.
I don't know, man. I just always go back to my league. Like, and no matter like what like nice stuff they throw in, it's like, I know what my core 2K experience is always going to be. And it's always going to be building teams. And, oh, what if I built a team that played this style, you know, like, and trying to build around that. And so, like, that's where I'm always going to live. Though, I mean, ultimately, it does kind of come down to the gameplay. And, you know, I think people, it's funny, I tweeted a joke similar to this, but someone said something along the lines, you know, like, I said something along the lines of, you know, every time a sports video game comes out, there's this resounding chorus of like, well, they didn't even fucking change. They didn't even change anything. And like, maybe that's true, but it isn't for me, because every time a new 2K comes out, I am so terrible for the first like month until I actually figure out how to play. Like, I always turn the difficulty up too high to start. I'm just getting fucking destroyed. And then, eventually I get to the point where I'm like, okay, I just need to turn the difficulty down so I can learn how to play this game again. And then I, you know, work my way up to competence. But so I'm going through some lean times with my Cavs early on. I noticed something, I don't know if you've picked this up, but it's a change that I haven't adapted to yet, but I think it's a change for the better. Doesn't every shot release feel a lot faster this year?
Yeah, it does. And one thing that you'll notice as well is just the impact of where you're playing. Like there's the different home court advantages and stuff. And when you're playing against those better teams, you really do feel it, especially on the road. I'm not
worried about that yet, Justin. I'm trying to get my fucking step back timed up properly.
But
that's kind of what I wanted to say.
It feels like there's more leeway.
I think there's less. I think it's a harder shot, but I think it's better because I think in years past where you're playing this game and you're playing with a Kyrie or a Steph or one of these water bug point guards that kind of like make their hay in off the dribble jumpers.
Yeah.
I often found that I would create a space with the dribble, and then the animation to gather and shoot a step back was so slow and clunky that the CPU had so much time to react that I didn't really gain much of an advantage. And I was pretty much doing those just for stylistic reasons. Whereas this year I was actually playing with the Cavs, and I was kind of had a head full of steam with Garland and semi-transition and immediately popped a little step back three. And it felt so organic, so fast. And I really think once I get the timing down offensively, it's going to feel really good.
Well, what I was going to say before you jumped down my throat was there's more leeway when you're playing at home or in an arena where it's like the Magic versus the Milwaukee Bucks. I do agree. So I understand what people say when it's, oh, there's not a whole lot of change, blah, blah, blah. It's the same thing. I think the changes are a little more subtle when you have a game that releases every single year and they just kind of build upon what was there before. I do feel like you can the footwork of players I feel is improved, and you can read the defender. Like if he reaches a little too early, you're able to expose that. If you time your attempt at a steal right, I feel you get rewarded a little more often.
Yeah,
and
it feels much more organic.
It really, really does.
It's always felt like I just like a random number generator happened in the game's engine. And it was like either you get the steal or you didn't get the steal, and whether you were in a good position or not kind of was immaterial.
Yeah, and I felt last year they did a real overhaul of the defense, and it was a little easier to play defense. And I think they're figuring out a right balance there. And
The blow-bys are definitely back up in terms of, you know, if you have an advantage, you can kind of generate that space and attack it. And what that's done is it actually, in my opinion, it actually forces the defensive AI to be smarter. Like it can't rely on you triggering a getting bodied up animation. So help defense, I've noticed, like especially when I'm playing offense, I've seen quite a few like insane highlight weak side blocks where like, because the AI has had to step up to account for these blow bys where the weak side rotations for when they're being used correctly have to be on point. And that's been the case. Like I've had multiple times where I'm like, okay, I got an angle here, and I just get absolutely pelted into the third row.
Yeah. It feels more like actual basketball. And I've got a lot of learning. There's definitely a learning curve here. Once again, I agree with your assessment that it usually does take a couple of weeks, depending on how much I'm playing. For whatever reason, I can't shoot with Kevin Love. I need to figure that out.
I'm having an insanely hard time with Love. And I understand that it's because they rated him an 83, which is
just our boy didn't shoot well. Our boy didn't shoot well last year, and I feel like we need him to have a hot start so that
malpractice
adjusters can get going. Yeah,
malpractice out of these ratings adjusters, but it's okay. I think Love is always one of those guys that.
Who's your surprise guy that you are just absolutely lighting it up with?
I'm actually having a lot of fun with Sexton. He's got a couple badges like quick trigger that like make it so he kind of like you kind of don't you get a little bonus if you kind of just pull with him, and that's what I've been trying to do a little bit. And so I've been having a lot of fun with him as shooter. And then Tristan is really all the extra space on defense where it is a little less chunky and animation based is Tristan. Like I think I played a game where he had 13 first half rebounds. and like that's felt really, really good.
Do the minutes played adjusted to the 48 minutes?
No, I don't, and here's why. And I loved that they added the feature, and I thought I was going to use it all the time, but my pace is so fast. I can't play slow, even when I play like a, even when I'm like role playing a little bit and like playing.
I failed to see the issue. What's your implied issue here?
Well, it's like my stats are all wrong.
No, it's not.
They don't look wrong.
Right. Those are my Cavs. That is what it is, man. Like yeah, Tristan Thompson's averaging 17 and 16. I don't see anything wrong with that.
Yeah, I'm a real simulation nerd, Justin.
Snob. Call it what it is.
Oh no, nerd. It's because it's not cool. It's embarrassing. I remember a couple years ago, this was like, I guess more than a couple years ago because I was still in college, but there was one summer where me and my buddy did our own custom roster because we realized that the ratios of speed for big men versus guards were off in our eyes, and we literally adjusted every single player in the game. We called it the project. It was the most embarrassing, and we were like, it took us like weeks.
Man, I see, that's the thing. So I feel less comfortable adjusting players. There's only been a few times, like 2 years ago when they weren't giving my boy Jetty any love, I had to make some adjustments there. But I'll do the adjusting to minutes played, but I don't really mess around with the stats too much. KPJ is our Jimmy Butler. Like I'm just telling you, man, like that is the guy that I'm having so much fun with leading my second unit.
I haven't figured him out yet. I'm still struggling.
He's shooting like 47% from three. We're talking like 16 points per game. He's getting steals. He's just a beauty out there.
Absolutely. Yeah, I do like the freelance sets are a little bit easier to call up now. Like the pass and screen set is just like a really quick, easy one to generate a good look for like a Dylan Windler or a Garland. One thing I do really want them to change, though, is I really miss just being able to, in two buttons, pick who's going to screen for me. Like bumper, hit triangle, or hit Y for my power forward. Like adding that extra button push, I think I hope that they're taking feedback and are can maybe look to change that and maybe move some of these freelance sets back to the D-pad. I mean, but that's picking nets. Like, obviously, I'll have to get used to it.
Yeah,
ultimately, I think the freelance sets feel a little more organic and quick, like similar to the step backs. Any of the off ball stuff always just felt a little chunky, a little slow, like they were kind of jogging through the set. And this year, I do feel like there's a lot more, like, especially when I was having a lot of fun calling a set where Jordan Clarkson caught it on a pin down screen. And catching it on the move and then just continuing his motion and a curl on the way to the rim was super fun. Like, it felt very organic. I think people are really going to like this game. I mean, obviously there is a loud subset of people who are kind of perpetually dissatisfied.
Yeah. There's that on Twitter with absolutely everything.
But that's certainly never been me. Like, there are games I like more than others. I actually really thought 2K19 was a pretty solid entry in the series after not being a huge fan of 2K18. But in my early experience here, and obviously I haven't gotten to dive in as much as I want, I do think this is going to be a thing, a game I'm going to really enjoy spending a lot of time on.
Yeah, and that easy-to-call freelance offense, that to me is really appealing. I've never really mastered the whole play-calling thing.
Well, their plays are stressful, but the freelance feels a little more like accessible, right?
Right, exactly. It's
plays, I just fuck them up.
Exactly. I like simple. I like simple offense. I like my pick and rolls, pace and space. Let's get some stops. Let's get out in transition. Man, it is a little tough to get stops with the Cavs. That's giving me some.
Man, I'm so bad at defense right now.
That's giving me some preliminary.
I don't know if it is in an 82 gamer, but in a 35 or your first games against the Celtics, and Kemba, just every shot was like, because I don't know if you have the shot quality like overlay turned on.
No, I don't.
Oh, first off, you have to do it because it shows you, because they changed it this year to something I really like. It shows you the percent that you contested the shot.
Oh, yes. I did see that when I was in the My Career, but I don't have that.
I absolutely love it. I think it really helps me. And what I like about it is, like, my least favorite thing with sports games is when I don't know if I'm getting screwed or not. Mm-hmm. Like, because there would be times where you thought you were closing out on someone, but, like, and this is in, like, years past, you think you'd closed out, but, like, you hadn't done the right thing to trigger the closeout in the game. But now I know. Precisely how much my defense affected the shot. And sometimes it's going to go in, and I'm okay with that. But I at least know. But I was guarding Kemba, and, like, I would think I was kind of on him, and he just stepped back, 4% contested, 7% contested. I was like, fuck. He was just shredding me.
I'm back to struggling defending ball handlers again.
Yeah. And I think that's going to be the story of this game. And
Markelle Fultz was giving me.
Oh, well, you don't want to hear that.
And yeah. The amazing thing to that was the commentary on Markelle Fultz was still kind of basically what it was before he had played in his rookie year. Like, they weren't remarking at the fact that he's hitting, like, 5 of 7 threes on me and just absolutely torching me. I was like, no. He's like already tripled his career total for, like, made shots. I need some more excitement out of this. I need the halftime show for Shaq to just run on the court and hug him. Like, I need some jubilation here.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't know. I think it is going to be an offensively tinged game, and I think the ball handlers are going to be tough to corral pretty much the whole time, barring some major slider changes internally, which I'm going to look at. But ultimately, I like that. Like, that's the way it should feel. Like, the NBA is this wide-open game, and 2K can be occasionally kind of, like, just a little more chunky than it needs to be. Like, this is the open pace and space world where guys are almost no one can, you know, we've talked about this all the time, Justin, but almost no one can stay in front of the elite scorers in the league. Mm-hmm. And it's team defense. And in the past, I feel like the game has kind of had to lean on this crutch of just, like, of overpowered individual defense to kind of protect the fact that it's really hard to have good defensive AI.
No, absolutely. I mean, basketball...
It's going to have to stand on its own 2 feet in this game.
Yeah, I mean, basketball's just... It's different than, like, football, where you have your routes and the defender tackles and whatnot. Like, basketball just... It's so tough to find that right balance between offense and defense. And I do feel that this year is a big, big step in the right direction. I'm enjoying the gameplay. Our Cavs are off to a 6-5 start after starting 0-3. So I feel pretty good about where we're at right now.
Yeah. And it's funny, cause I've talked about this a lot because I work at a video game company, as people know. And, I think there is, like, sometimes a little bit of a derision for sports games from, mm-hmm, like, hardcore gamers. And I'm like, listen, they actually have, I think the devs for sports games have a harder job than anyone wants to acknowledge, because if you're designing Overwatch or Call of Duty, you have to do two things. You have to make it fun and you have to make it balanced.
Mm-hmm.
That's really, those are your two real operatives, or your directives as a developer. But when you're doing a sports game, it has to be fun. So everyone has to be able to pick it up and play it. Has to be balanced. Like you said, you have to balance offense and defense, right? That's important. You have to balance, good players, bad players, et cetera. You have to balance. But then you also have this third factor, which is you have to reflect real life. And no shooter has to do that. Almost no simulator has to do that. No RPG has to do that.
Have you ever got a hysterical glitch? Our boy Robbie tweeted this out the other day, because there was some Madden highlight where a guy fumbled and the linebacker basically kind of picked up the fumble and threw it 40 yards, a perfect strike. and I've never had a massive glitch like that. And I feel like I'm missing out.
I mean, I did have this thing in last year's game where I just loaded into a game with my Nuggets franchise, which was Nuggets My League, which was an absolute blast. And there was just no crowd in the audience.
Yeah, I did get that. I did get that. I
was like, oh, it kind of feels like a WWE house show.
Oh, man. Well, at least you got to experience what it's like to play for the Miami Heat in the first quarter.
Whew. Yikes.
Doo-doo-tsh. Before we wrap this up, what is the biggest change you would like to see in 2K if you're going to pick some nits here?
Yeah, so the thing that I've kind of been beating the drum on for a long time is, because of course, as I said, I'm an avid My League player. That's my favorite game mode. It's probably the game mode, like if you combine iterations of 2K, I've probably spent more time on My League or, you know, whatever mode you want to call it. Than just about any other video game. Like when yeah. If you add it, you know, 15 years of doing this. And the thing I really want to see them start to do is evaluate the modern trade climate, which is that it's not about who has the most valuable pieces. It's about accounting for positive and negative value. Right now, their trade system has guys ranked 1 to 5 stars in terms of their value. And the problem with that is Nicholas Batum might be a 1 star in trade value, because even though he's like a 76, he has a worse contract in the league. That's fine, but he is much worse for a team's books and is viewed in much worse light than any end of bench guy that's playing for the minimum. And I think that salary dumps have been become such a big part of the league that the fact that they aren't currently being accounted for is a miss. And it's something that I just think once you start adding that positive negative value, if it becomes on a spectrum instead of if it's a negative 10 to 10 kind of scoring system, all of a sudden the transactions that are happening in my league are 10 to 15 times more nuanced. You can't just game the system by matching salary with a player who's not good. I really think that would add a lot to my experience. How about you?
No, I completely agree. And mine kind of feeds into that. So it's tough because we've kind of heard a few people kind of lament on the individual rankings. And it's tough because with their system, in order to get LeBron to a 98 or whatever, you have to make him a good defender. And I think I would like to see them be a little more harsh on what a player's ratings are. I understand why that might be a little bit difficult, just because you do get so much feedback from the players and whatnot, but it really feels like they're rating on a scale of 70 to 100. And I'd like to see that opened up a little bit more. Because it's just like you said with the star system with trades and stuff like that. It's way too easy to kind of unload a bad contract because they're usually ranked at like a 74 or a 72. Like John Henson, for example, I think he's still at like a 73. And I just feel like it's a little too easy when you're doing your team building to kind of revamp and to dump off those contracts. And I'd like to see more of a spectrum with the ratings. I think it should be tougher to get up to those 98s as well. Like I think right now in the league, you might have Giannis who's a very complete player, but he's got some flaws to his game. LeBron's obviously taken a massive step back on defense. I think it's okay if the highest ranked player is like a 95 or a 94. I would like to see just a little bit harsher rankings, but I think that's a bit of a long shot personally.
Can I pitch an even more radical solution?
Yes. Do away with overalls.
I don't need an overall rating anymore.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
I think if you do that, then you'll stop seeing so much, because I think, and you saying that actually really opened that up in my brain a little bit, which is, these developers are so beholden, because no one really cares what their individual ratings are in the wider public other than nerds like us.
Yeah.
And so they're so beholden to this overall rating that I think it hamstrings them. And I think it would be really cool if without that, and maybe this just would be better if you could just turn it off as an option.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe there's some degree of like I have to do my own homework now. I have to figure out who's good if I'm playing my league. I don't just get to see a list of overalls. Like I have to actually look at what they do well, what they don't do well. And maybe that's the way you do it. I mean, they already are starting to break it out into those letter grades for like inside scoring, which is like a little bit more wide angle. Maybe you just have like offense, defense, and that's it.
I'm a little more into
those overalls. You might actually
get scouting. It adds better like scouting. And I mean,
ultimately I will say like the community does do a good job of, you know, if there are some deficiencies in the stock roster, like if you go to forums like operationsports.com, which if you've never been, it's just an amazing resource for slider sets and rosters and people who really are more obsessive than we'll ever be about this. They find good play. There are good resources where you can find rosters that fit your liking a little bit more, but ultimately I do think if we just got rid of those overalls, it would be a little more, I think we would put the developers in less of a needless bind.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. So I think overall we both agree it's fun to see the changes of this game. I'm looking forward to figuring out the offense and becoming a little more consistent.
I'm looking forward to being less fucking terrible.
I was trying to be charitable, but yeah, that is kind of the bottom line. And
I'm going to get there, but it's going to be an uphill. We're going to, at some point, I think, stream ourselves playing each other a couple times on at twitch.tv/chasedownpod. But oh boy, I don't really want to put myself out there just yet. It would be humiliating.
Oh man. I think I've told the story before, but Ryan Morton absolutely torched me. I think he scored, like, it was an international team and he scored like 55 with Sasha Pavlovich on me. It was rough. It was very, very, very rough. He was getting MVP chance by the end. But yeah, I think we should embarrass ourselves on Twitch, make use of that. And also let's get this going. Let's engage the community. I know you have both systems, right? Do you want to throw out your gamer tags or whatnot on here?
You can find me on Xbox at Goofy Variable 98. It was an auto generated handle that I thought was wonderful, so I never wanted to change it. And then you can find me on PSN at Carter Shade.
Oh, there you go. And you can find me on Xbox at Cavs Canada. I don't have multiple systems. You can get over that. So looking forward to playing the Chase Down community and building upon that, because let's embarrass ourselves even more. We embarrass ourselves with our takes, but I want to add another facet to that. So thank you to all our listeners. Thank you for this very self-indulgent, tolerating the self-indulgent episode where we just talk about the us being in the game and the things we love about it. But I love 2K. I love basketball, and it always gives me the reminder that we're really, really damn close to the season, and I just can't wait.
Yeah, I'm excited as well. Let's do this shit. Let's get less terrible in the meantime.
Let's do this thing. All right. Thank you, Carter. Thank you to all our listeners. Remember, if you want to support the show, the best way to do so is leave a rating, leave a review, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, and help cook those books. Also, if you want, you could find us on Facebook. You can like and share there. Invite your friends and family to the page. Maybe help us grow out a little bit. That could be a lot of fun. And if you want to be part of our Discord chat, you can send a screenshot of a rating or a review. Whatever you're leaving. Actually, even a screenshot of you sharing our Facebook page. We're pretty generous. And if you send that to chasedownpod@gmail.com, we will send you a link to our Discord chat. So thank you to Carter. Thank you to all of our listeners and subscribers. Until next time, go Cavs.